Take your Bibles, if you will, and we're going to be in the book of John, John chapter 21. Remain standing, John chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. We'll read these responsibly. I'll read the odd verses, you'll read the even verses, and join me with them. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Let's begin. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And let's pray.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the report from Brother Josh down in South Africa and the people that are being reached, and Lord, indirectly, some of it, just a tad of it, is because of the influence of this church. Lord, we don't realize how big it is. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight, challenge us. We've shortened the time together as far as around your word, but may it be like a B-12 shot, something that's compacted, that's going to give us what we need. Please help us tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in John chapter 21, you have the story of the disciples, and it interests me how that these men who served with our Savior for 3.5 years, in less than a week, have quit the ministry. Just quit. They walked away. Well, their leader died and they didn't know what to do, so they just quit. It used to bother me. I've seen the same thing happen many times in the 35 years of my full-time ministry and 43 years of preaching. I've watched colleges, churches, businesses, as soon as the leader leaves or dies, changes. It's a shadow of what it used to be, if it's there at all. These five men, they're fishing. One of their friends has committed suicide. Judas Iscariot. The Savior has died and has resurrected and shown himself at least twice to them. And they still quit. They went back to the fishing business, making money. They heard every message he preached. They saw virtually every miracle. They counseled with him. They sat at his feet learning. He taught them one-on-one. He told them what was coming, and they walked away from it anyway. What happened? What happened to that excitement of, hey, Peter, you and your brother Andrew, leave your fishing business and follow me. James and John, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. By the way, Peter and James and John are in this group of five. They left their business 3.5 years ago to follow Jesus. Now they left Jesus to go back into business. They were there when he turned the water to wine in Galilee. They were there when the maniac of Gadara, who was demonically filled and was living in the graveyard, cutting himself and breaking chains, came to Jesus and got saved and cleaned himself up. Wanted to join him, and Jesus said, no, go home to your friends. You'll have a bigger ministry. Go home. Get your family back together. They saw him walk on the water. They saw him speak, and the winds and the waves and the storms obeyed his voice. They saw the multitudes fed twice with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Fed thousands and thousands. You know what that's like, having 250 show up when you thought 50. He said snacks. I'm thinking, yeah, he went from cups to Dixie cups to Lord's Supper cups, amen. You were praying for the multiplication, amen. They watched him chase out the money changers. They saw him die. They saw the resurrected Savior. And they walked away. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand that. I was privileged to work for Dr. Jack Hiles. I had worked in two other places at that time. I got to work with him, and I look back at some of the men with whom I served, who are now a bunch of liberals. I'm not afraid to say it. Men who sat in the same staff meetings I sat in that today don't even preach out of the same Bible. They turned their back on it. Everybody doing okay? I'm not afraid to say it. Were these men so busy for God that they needed a break? They were so stressed from doing too much for God because they didn't spend time with God. Folks, I don't need a sabbatical. My wife and I are taking our anniversary trip in May for our 35th anniversary. Everybody's all excited about it. I'm like you, I don't want to go. Part of me wants to just spend time with my wife, but I'm ready to be here. Just feed me a bale. Hey, I'm okay. Let me keep on plowing. I was with somebody, and they said that their pastor every 3 years gets a 6-month sabbatical. I held my tongue. I said, "How does he get so stressed?" "Well, he has to preach every week." I said, "How many times?" He said, "Well, once." He said, "How many times will you preach this year?" I said, "Between the radio broadcast, church, special meetings, I'll preach over 500 sermons this year." He said, "When are you taking a sabbatical?" I said, "Oh, I have it planned." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, it's called rapture." "Oh." I said, "I'm not retiring, I'm retreading." Said, "I have no desire to take a sabbatical." He said, "How do you deal with the stress?" I said, "I walk with God. I walk with God." I've watched church members come and go. I've watched some go to good churches and some that don't. Most who leave go away to lesser churches if they go to church at all, and they're hurt. Why do so many Christians burn out? I'll be honest with you, I'm not built that way. Maybe it's genetic, I don't know, but I'm just not built to the point of I give up on anything. Miss Kathy got me a shirt. I talked about it in a sermon a couple weeks ago, the bird that swallows a frog and his hands are around the bird's neck. And she got me that t-shirt and it says, "Never give up." I wear that thing every night. I'm not kidding. You say, why? Because I don't ever plan on giving up. I may give out, but I'm not giving up. Why do so many Christians burn out? Because they throw their bottles around on the platform during the preaching. Amen. Please listen to a man that's been through a lot. I'll be 57 years old next month. Shut up. Yeah. You're not far behind, brother. You're close enough to reach. Can I tell you something? I've spent my entire teen and adult life preaching the Word of God. I surrendered to preach July 31st, 1980 at the age of 13. I've been preaching every week of my life for decades. They said the average Bible college student preaches less than 100 sermons by the time they graduate from Bible college. I'd preached over 300 times before I ever went to Bible college. Now, listen to somebody that's been around the block a little bit. I've seen a lot. I've preached, I think the last time I counted was 34 states. I don't know. I don't have time to keep track of it. I just keep going and, yes, Lord, whatever you want. Here we go. It doesn't matter. But I've spent my entire teen and adult life doing what I'm doing right now. Not many people at 56, 57 years old can tell you they've done the same thing for 43 years. Most of you have retired after that many years. Man, I'm just hitting my stride. I'm just feeling like we've got something good going. And God's moving almost 1,000 houses within 110 acres of this property right now. Glory to God. We get to go fishing and not leave the dock. The builder at the meeting said, Pastor, if you want, we'll build a walkway between the 13 acres over there, and people that live over there can walk to your church instead of driving. I said, you got it. I didn't ask him. He asked me. We'll have a crosswalk ministry, amen? How do you keep from burning out, preacher? How do you always stay on topside, preacher? Let me help you. Number one, get wrapped up in the love of God. Folks, do you realize you're not doing it for yourself? You're doing it for the Lord? You know, when you got saved, you did it to keep your carcass out of hell, but you're headed somewhere someday. Salvation is more than fire insurance against hell. It's homeowner's insurance in heaven. Amen. Quit worrying about the fire and let's start working on the home insurance. Amen? Amen. Do you realize no matter how bad it gets, the worst day down here is better than the best day in hell? Yes, to us, this is as bad as it gets. From here, everything's up. Say, well, preacher, what's going to happen if so-and-so dies, or what happens if I die? God says you go from death to life, not life to death. Amen. That means you start eternal life. You're not starting eternal death. Right, and why don't you get wrapped up in the fact that Jesus loves you? Amen. When's the last time you got alone with God and said, God, I love you. And thank you for your love to me. And you just thank God for his love. Can I tell you why you're burned out? Because you haven't told him how much you loved him lately. You know why marriages burn out? Because people don't communicate their love. You know why couples fuss with one another? Because they don't communicate their love. Yeah, I'm not going there. You know, no matter what happens, God loves me. God loves me. If you read the rest of John 21 later, Jesus looks at Peter and said, do you love me, Peter? He said, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Three times Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Isn't it a shame that Jesus had to ask Peter if he loved him? Last week of January of 2001. On a Friday morning at prayer time at Brother Hyle's office, I got to spend a few moments with him alone. I got to help him for a moment and asked him a few questions. As I always did, I said, Preacher, I love you. And just as I said it, I said, Preacher, I love you. Have a great day. And I turned around and I got about a step and a half. And he said, Brother Craig, I turned around. He said, I love you too, son. Don't ever forget it. I said, thank you, preacher. I love you too. It was the last time I would ever see him. He'd had a heart attack 3 days before in Monterrey, Mexico, and didn't tell anybody. Within 2 weeks, he would be in heaven. I always promised the Lord, I wanted the last words that my preacher ever heard me say would be, I love you, preacher. They were. 3.5 years ago, my mama was dying. Her kidneys were failing, and she wasn't in her right mind. She had me. She was never in her right mind. But she called me, and she said, I got to get up. And she was in ICU, and I said, Mama, you don't need to get up. It's okay. And she was just, she was kind of out of it. And I said, Mom. She said, what? I said, I love you. She said, well, I love you too. She calmed down. I said, I'll get the nurse and we'll take care of it. Okay, Mom? Okay. I said, Mama, I love you. Well, I love you too. I hung up the phone. I looked at my wife and I said, I've just talked to my mom the last time, I think. And it was. But she heard, I love you. I never leave my wife's presence without saying, I love you. I never leave my dad's presence. Never talk to him on the phone without saying, Dad, I love you. I never talk to my children without saying, I love you. Never. I rarely end a church service without saying to you, I love you. I was in Indiana and precious saint of God, she was dying. I got to be with her. Matter of fact, it was the only time in my life I got to be there, and Brother Hiles was there as she was passing. And he had just walked out a little while before. She and her husband had been married, I think, 60 years. The nurses called in and said, look, you better, they were moving her and doing something. They said, you better get in. She's failing quick. She's going. We rushed back into the room, and L.J. Parr leaned over to Bessie and said, sweetheart, I love you. And as he said it, the machines quit. But she moved her mouth three times. And was gone. She couldn't even say it, but her lips did. And I thought, I wished every child of God could see this. I hope my dying breath is, I love you. When's the last time you did that with God? He created you to love him. No wonder you burn out so fast. You don't spend any time with him. Take every day and tell your wife or your husband or your children, the people around you, look in their eyes and say, I love you. Look long enough to where you know you looked into their soul to say it. But take time every day to look into your Heavenly Father's eyes and say, God, I love you. Love you so much. Whew. You know, maybe we just ought to get wrapped up in how much God loves us. Number two, this one's going to hurt a little. Be a truth seeker, not a people pleaser. Amen. Learn to obey truth and not worry about pleasing everybody. Did you know when you live truth, somebody's not going to be happy? Usually, they're liberal. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter who understands you, live the truth. Look how many people misrepresent Jesus. But he was the truth. He not only lived it, he said, I am the truth. Seek truth. Not pleasing people. Too many times we want to please everybody. He doesn't. He makes them mad when he goes out soul winning. They call the church. Wait a minute. Not everybody's going to understand it. That lady during COVID, and we were going soul winning during COVID in Shepherdstown when she called. She left me three dirty messages because the voicemail wasn't long enough to get her whole message in. She was mad as a wet hornet. I can't believe a man of the cloth. Well, she was wrong on that one. She said, you're there to help people and you're spreading diseases and you're killing people. I called and left a voicemail for her. I said, ma'am, I said, I'm the one you just chewed out. I said, I want you to know something. I said, I'm glad you're concerned, but so am I. But you're only concerned about this life. I'm concerned about their eternity. And I don't want them dying and going to hell with or without COVID. I said, and the message of the gospel is more important than the spreading of a germ. Amen. I never got a call back from her. Go figure. I'd like to find out what street it is. We'll hit it again one of these days real soon, I'm sure. You know, maybe we ought to seek truth and not to please people. You will learn more by applying truth than you will by sitting in a classroom trying to put it on a piece of paper. Best thing you could do to love God, the best thing you could do to seek truth is to get up, go out, knock on a door and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen. Grab a stack of gospel tracts and take them out and show folks how they can get saved. Because as you start winning people to Christ and witnessing to them, they're going to ask you questions you don't know the answer to, and you're going to get closer to the one and to the book to get those answers. Amen. Yes. I promise you. Number three. Live a life controlled by the Holy Spirit, not your own emotions. Let me make a statement here. The Holy Spirit and emotions do not go together. You will never find an emotion attached to the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Well, I just felt the Spirit. No, you didn't. Not God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit works within the confines of the Word of God. He can't work outside of the Word of God or He is not God. Well, I went to church and somebody sang that song and I got goosebumps. That was the Holy Spirit. I've gotten goosebumps other ways it wasn't that way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, when spiritual people disappoint you, God didn't. I've watched preachers do wrong and mess up their entire life, their ministry, and their families. But God didn't mess up. I was 23 years old and was working in my first church in Southern California. A well-known man who had been on the mission field, built a great work, came to America, was building a giant church, running a couple thousand. He left his wife, took off with his secretary. I was 23 years old. He had children my age. Listen to this. We got he and his wife back together. They came to our church, joined our church, and he sat in my Sunday school class as I taught him. He'd been in the ministry longer than I'd been alive. But I began to put his ministry and his life and his marriage back together. Maybe we ought to let the Holy Spirit control us, not our emotions. Your emotions are not God. You know, I'm going to say something here. The disciples left the ministry because they weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. They were listening to their flesh. Yes, well, I'm afraid. What if they did that to Jesus? What are they going to do to me? Guess what? Jesus made it to heaven. I guess I'll make it to heaven. Everybody doing all right? The worst thing could happen is they let me hear. Did you know God's going to do His work whether you do it or not? God's work will continue as long as the Holy Spirit works through you. You're looking at the most unlikely man to pastor a church in the world. Nobody believed it. When God told me to start this church, I had preachers all over America saying, you probably ought not do that. You're too old and you never did that, preacher. Guess what? I didn't listen to him. Thank God. Amen. Say why? Because I didn't get into the ministry because of those people. I got in the ministry for God and I decided I was going to do what He said and what the Holy Spirit said. That's good. Now some of them are eating crow. When the Holy Spirit controls you, you have the energy you need to do what you're supposed to do. Preacher, don't you ever get down? Nope. Say why? Because I got the Holy Spirit inside me, gives me the energy I need. Do I get tired? Yeah, every day. Do I face hard things? Every day. Do I face bad news? Almost every day. Brother Nick, you and I have been soul winning 2 weeks. I said this morning. Hardly 7 days goes by without me getting news of somebody dying. In the last 7 days, he's been out with me twice on Saturday, and both Saturdays got news somebody died. Preacher, how do you handle that? Because it got the Holy Spirit inside. Man, if you knew how exciting it was. You have no idea when I'm sick and when I'm not. I've stood behind this pulpit with a fever, sick, not sure I was going to make it. By the time I got done, I was screaming and hollering and having a good time. Preached the fever right out, amen? Went home and died for about 6 hours. Got up and did it all over again. You know, sing in the power of God. I love this church singing. It's exciting to hear y'all sing. Play in the power of God. You quit having so much fussing at home if boys and girls get filled with the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I'm preaching to everybody tonight. Wouldn't have any trouble in school if kids got along in the Holy Spirit. If you're going to teach Sunday school or teach anywhere, teach in the power of the Holy Spirit. As I walk across the parking lot every Sunday morning, I get out of my truck and I say, God, I love you. God, as people get out of their vehicles today, may they feel your presence on the parking lot. I get to the door and unlock it and I say, God, I'm going to shake every hand that I can that walks in or out of that door today. Would you allow every handshake to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. A little later in the morning, I go through every room of this building, other than the bathrooms, and I ask God to fill the people in there with the Holy Spirit and the workers and those that will be taught and junior church and Brother Anthony's Sunday school class. And I come through here for my class and then back for the morning and evening services. And I ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that people would know there's something different. If you've never stood at this pulpit, you don't understand it, but there's a little brass plate that says, I yield to the Holy Spirit. Every time I preach, I look at that. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit of God. Number four. Can I help you with something very practical that you might not think goes with it? Learn to live and enjoy every stage of life. Learn to enjoy every stage of life. Children, enjoy being a child, but enjoy growing up to be a teenager. Nobody else is going to enjoy you being a teenager, so you may as well. But enjoy being a child, but also learn the responsibility of what comes next and grow up. And teenagers, enjoy being a teenager. You young adults, enjoy being a young single adult. When you get married, enjoy being a young married couple. As the children start coming, enjoy being a young parent. As your children grow, and those of us who have grown children, enjoy middle age. That means I'll live to 114. But enjoy it. We have 5 grandbabies in heaven, but I've got one. God gave us a year ago February. I'm Pawpaw. I love being a Pawpaw. Whew. I saw a guy driving down the road the other day, had a front license plate, says Pawpaw. I said, I want that. I looked at the guy and said, say, preacher, that means you're... No, I'm going to enjoy it. I can't change it. Might as well enjoy it. If you're a senior citizen, enjoy it. You can say things and get away with it. Amen? I saw some... I saw a t-shirt. It said, don't mess with old people. A life sentence in jail doesn't bother them. I'm sorry. I thought that was funny. I almost bought it for my dad. Anyway. I thought that was pretty funny. I really did. You know, enjoy every stage of life. You can't go back. Quit living in the past.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know how many times I say this in my life. Quit living looking in the rearview mirror. If you drive looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash. If you're always looking back, you're going to crash the future. There's a reason the rearview mirror is only that big and the windshield's the whole width of the car. Look ahead, don't look back. Refer to the back, but look forward. Hey, I'm enjoying every stage of my life. I didn't regret when my kids got married and left. I was having a spell. I sold my house and moved and didn't give them a key. If you saw when my daughter got married, the last of my youngest, I stood right there and Michael's dad stood here to start the wedding and I got to be dad and pastor at the same time. And the little stinker had a song she recorded about loving her daddy. Oh, I thought I can take this. And I'm looking at Brother Nathan and all of a sudden he starts blubbering. I said, you idiot. So I looked above his head. I didn't cry. It took everything I had not to cry. Because she didn't know what was coming next. When Michael proposed to her, her first words weren't yes, it were, are you serious? I told Michael's dad that very day what I was going to do on their wedding day. Who gives this bride away? I said, are you serious? We went from crying to laughing hysterically. And my daughter, Daddy! Yep. And from then on, it was, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed marrying them. I enjoyed doing Josh and Ruth Ann's wedding in Florida. Loved every minute of it. I didn't regret it. What an honor. I'll say this as respectfully as I know how. As much as you can enjoy, I enjoyed doing my mama's funeral. No, I wasn't happy she was gone. But I got to do it. I got to help people in a way nobody else could. Can I tell you something? How about we enjoy every stage of life, not regret it? You know, you never have to be a member of the I used to be club. You never have to be a part of that band of people that say, well, I used to go to church, but not anymore. You don't have to burn out. You don't have to. Oh, by the way, Jesus allowed the disciples to re-up. They got back in. And then they turned the world upside down. How about let's not get out. Let's just turn the world upside down. Let's give it everything we've got. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Did you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands. Maybe it's time to decide to re-up. Maybe it's time to decide you're not going to burn out.